Let us swear. Over there, first. Scott, that was, but you got all the points in. Didn't have it in the preamble, but it came in very nicely in the economy. It's all having you there, you see, was the other thing. Now, this is going to make it more difficult for me than what will happen as a girl. It's going to, because she's, you have to do it that way because Kissinger can't handle it wrong. Therefore, you have to do both. You see, her, I'd like to have her, but instead of I give her, and then I've got to have Kissinger, so it's better than you do them all.
Pick up on it too.
I mean, I don't know what I should go. You know, so I'm not sure he's talking about it. But he can pick up. Say that he was calling you. So if you talk to him, I said. Well, everything I said was to put it right out there. I'm going to put sucking around the press. Why people do things in their own distress. They're going to get a few points. They're going to grow up and be men. I think you'll see a very salutary effect, not just in this context, for millions. And I think they like to hear balls.
Yeah.
I think so. Hello. Jack Kemp, Pat, is going to go around with us, Paul McCloskey, on the David Frost show tomorrow night. And I asked him, what is it about? He said, just about the Nixon, about the presidency and all that sort of thing. And it looks like, I thought that our shop arranged it for a phone and like that, that we gave him assistance, but apparently, I said, where are you getting the dope? Well, he said, he's gone over to Sullivan and State to get the dope on the office and a couple of directors around town and so forth. Well, nobody really can give you the dope better than you could, you know. If you got time, you could do something today. Either research or memory good with it. You might get him a call, first of all, say, now what is he? He said that they're going to be our head-to-head on this show. He was with him on another show in New York and didn't have the information that he needed on the Cabot show. He makes a very good impression, but he's got to get the information, you know. What he really needs are talking points, Pat, like you give to me. And, you know, here's McCloskey, he's screaming around. Some ways, for example, you've got some McCloskey weaknesses, I'm sure, that you can put in, you know. That you maybe you've made up a summary of that, haven't you? Don't you have stuff on McCloskey? Yeah. And you can check any place in the administration that you can to see what the, maybe Colson's got some stuff. Would you do that? But if you take the procedure, take the responsibility on it, would you please? Call McCloskey, call Kent. Tell him now you're going to prepare some stuff. Just getting some good, remember, understand, he's not a great little intellect, but he's a bright, tough guy. Just getting some good, nutsy stuff that he can go on where he can just lay off McCloskey about some of his silly stuff. Okay? All right, go ahead and enjoy this assignment, Church. He'll say some of the things I can't. Okay. I want you to set up a different procedure there. We cannot put calls like Kemp on programs with calls like Tchaikovsky and have him go around to Solomon. We ran to him, and I think he went over to saw an assistant secretary of defense. I mean, we got to get him help up. Just absolutely wrong. Now, I wanted, whenever we've got anybody that we're putting on, that fellow feels the same. And somebody has got to take the responsibility. Get that goddamn research outfit over there. You can't put it all on Buchanan, too. That's why I say get some other people.
Sure.
Haven't we got some other people? Buchanan's got a staff anyway.
Well,
of course, he's got some guys working on it. This is not the way to do it. He's going on for an hour tomorrow night.
Hey, could it be more?
An hour tomorrow night with McCloskey and David Frost. Well, goddammit, let's give him a little sharp one. Well, he isn't complaining. He thinks he's prepared. He's not prepared at all. He doesn't know about Laos. He brings up that stuff in the bit, and they've got arguments on Vietnam and things to get off and on and so forth. You can't, please. the way you look at it, here's what McCloskey's doing, and here's the kind of tone he should have, here are some of the points that he should make, get home 3 or 4 points. You know what I mean? Sort of think it through that way, Pat, rather than getting a great bundle of material. Fair enough. You sort of put yourself in his spot and say, here's the points that I get, and here's the job, son of a bitch, job. Okay. I don't want anybody bothered. Now, we work our ass off around here, you know, to get other people prepared, and we can't put a congressman up against a certain bitch like that. If we're going to use him as a servant, then I want him prepared.
I'm amazed that he isn't.
He didn't complain about it. Maybe that Jesus Christ saw somebody to advise him. You can't advise him about how to handle the cost. He can tell him a little about Laos.
Give us some facts.
But he shouldn't have any needs.
He shouldn't have to go digging out the facts. We should give him that in summary form.
Absolutely. You got to talk to him about cheating last night. He said, we're just getting prepared for him. He said, that's fine. I said, it should be done. He says, well, he's going to have a background impression. We were told that he wanted to have a background impression. He said, I said, no, he's not going to have a background impression. He said, no, none. He said, not at all. I said, he should see the course of people, but he's not there to have a background impression. Now, what has happened, obviously, is that a wire has gone out to these various places saying, Dr. Kissinger will have background to the press. He didn't tell us that, how long? You see what I mean?
Did he not tell us that? He buried, standing right there, right here. He moved over to this side of the desk. Specifically said he would not, that he would not have background or he would not talk to the press.
I've covered that a half a dozen times.
I don't think about it.
He wasn't naming it. He volunteered. I didn't ask him whether Henry was seeing the press or anything. He just said we're setting up a background. He says we understand he wanted it. That wants a background with the press. He's not to have his background or anything. It's particularly an Indian. Just don't do it. He'll make the big play. He's got a chance to make the biggest play of anybody's life. That's the biggest play of anybody's life. Why is he going to bring it away with some cheating fucking backgrounder with a bunch of Indian pressmen? And the New York Times told them to turn with us. And their little sisters down the line and the GSIs and the rest. Really, everybody wants to be, and nobody knows something. They're never happy for it. Why do you don't go to the White House?
I was going to this morning.
Very well.
I'll catch you tomorrow.
I just get a big meeting. I lay it out and I say, I think you got to get across the point that there's going to be a great effort to break in here, that we are not going to have this, we're going to have this one, and nobody's going to talk to the press, and I'm going to give them background information or any of that sort of thing, and everything. I believe also that let's say there's honest where it's not going to do. But why the hell do they have to do it anyway, son? Why do they have to do it anyway? They don't.
There's some that we want.
You see, the point that I made,
oh yes,
when we wanted to leak anything, but the point that I made here, in this cabinet group, that there were instance after instance where departments were fighting with each other in public. It's true, you see, that's why I got in that I had to broaden the subject that absolutely true, Bob. Departments aren't fighting each other publicly. They are trying to win their battles, and they all do. They're all doing it, they're all fighting, and that hurts us.
Now, what you said, they have to sit there and accept.
And they also know that they've got a bunch of disloyal people.
Yeah, they'll argue with you on that.
Oh, sure. They got Rogers.
They'll say the other departments have disloyal people.
Yeah, they have Rogers will say, that the Foreign Service is loyal. He knows better. Those sons of bitches are out to screw us up.
And you got, that was dangerous the way he can't help but have caught it. You got the personnel appointments. Yeah. You know, you just lost the battle. Nobody else can pick that up. That's
what you didn't let her pick it up.
You didn't take Rogers publicly. But he sure, he has to know what you were saying.
It may be this will not shake him. Oh, it'll shake him, but
now what's going to shake him now is when we start calling. that's where the tough part's going to be, but we just got to start building.
Just be me. Calm. I mean, you say, here it is. We got to have, you know, reports and everything. Scared of living by Jesus, I don't know. The way that handle Henry on this is, hey, I want you to tell Hague that's an order. He needs to have no background. He needs to correct that. Correct whatever wire they cut off. There needs to be no background in any place and no meetings with the press in place.
Instructions at the last minute, and she wasn't involved in putting those basic lists together, and that's it's the last 5 minutes. So she has, you know, by deduction,
yeah,
she's got some basis for saying, I mean, that's true.
Would you?
And I just got to sit down with her. I have not talked to her. I have talked to Alex.
I don't wish you were. You would say, Rose, it's a total misunderstanding. And okay, no change. Let me tell you about each one of them. Then she'll bitch like all of them do and say, why didn't we get the list out early? And he'll say, because the decisions are made late. And incidentally, don't put the Gideon's Armor thing on planning and achievements. He's a jerk. So put it on Stan and say, Stan's head is, these are the financial people. A group of finance people said, we've been having finance dinners and we do not go outside.
But it's even Alex said, for instance, on the Gideon's Army thing, that he sent that little, gave that list to Rose. He said, you know, this has been set up by, you know, this externally because it's for a particular purpose. They're not going, it's an organizational thing, in other words.
Yeah.
But you'll want the list for your confidential files so that you can keep it, you know, you'll want to work these people into other parties on the house. Leans over, and I know he does,
right,
because he's had some run-ins with Rose. Leans over,
if possible, to work
way backwards to try to
get I don't blame him. He's got an impossible job. But nevertheless, he understands,
yeah,
that it is a letter, because there is one thing that she does know better than Alex, and that is, first of all, she knows for some effect. She's make this note that when you talk to Rose and Alex, I get them in together. I think you ought to do it that way.
Okay.
Maybe. But first, I'm issuing an order now. Now I'm not having any social function at the White House for the purpose of therapy, old friends, or anything, unless I determine. In other words, I'm just not going to do it to be a good guy. See, I've done the cabinet, I've done the thing. I've finished all that now, Bob. Every name on every list from now on must be a name that is put there for a political purpose. Is that clear? Now, with regard to the state dinners, just put a bare veneer on to make it bipartisan. Just a bare veneer, you know what I mean? With regard to them, I want to, on the congressional side, go to McGregor and get some new people from time to time. But second, that we want to reward who've done good things for us on the. Now here's the other thing. And here's where you get that one, Henry, treated very, very rough. I'm going to knock off this stuff of having Sonnenfeld with everyone, every state country. He's not going to get that where Europeans are involved. We're not going to have it. And we're not going to have Henry second thing. Henry can come if he needs to. You know what I mean? I think it helps energy. But I think really basically on the state dinners, unless it's somebody like John whose wife likes to come, I think that it's better to have the staff people come in after dinner. Don't you know what I mean? I think they enjoy it more. I mean, it's easy to go in and work a few of those clowns over. But to the extent we have state dinners, this is on the State Department side, I'm not going to go down below maybe the top two or three, you know what I mean? And then have somebody else give a dinner for everybody down below them, see what I mean? Make room for our people. Never have a desk officer. Never have our number three and so forth and so on. Okay.
They can go to the luncheons or the embassy dinner and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Don't have to spend the car on that.
Again, there's no comparison to say, well, we're there, they have our staff. After all, this is the United States of America. On this business of the Jew, I know you're trying to, but I want you to take the hard line that we cannot govern this country. You really can't govern this country if a man is not prosecuted for stealing documents. And I don't agree with Mara that it's all that bad. See, the case isn't going to be tried. It isn't going to be decided before the election time. It'll go in the courts and it'll hang around and it'll take months to indict the son of a bitch.
I just don't understand the reasoning that he'll be made a martyr anyway, in the sense that it would hurt us. He'd be martyred by exactly the people that should.
No, he'd be made a martyr the same way. He is a guy that's trying to get out the stuff in the war. We're prosecuting him for getting out the stuff in the war. That's the argument.
We can't turn that into a green act. The argument is he stole government documents.
That's the one thing Colson says that he thinks is the point I have said that finally he's got, I think he said three newspapers of 3,000 in the country of money used that stolen government document. And we're just got one congressman that did it.
But only the Pacific.
And see, that's the count. He's on one count. One count under the espionage thing, but the other on the basis of unfortunately, they can't do it on stealing, but it's on unauthorized possession, which is, we can shift in rhetoric to steal. And he's going through all the usual crap of his 10 years in jail worth it to get out and get us out of this war and all that kind of stuff. Well, let him say that. I don't think that should bother us.
Don't worry what polls show or anything else on his guilt or innocence. We can change it. You understand? You've got to fight it. This administration has got to fight one thing. I'm not going to let this guy get away with anything.
Chuck doesn't think you should let up, then.
Chuck? Oh, shit. He's horrified at the thought. I said, no. I just know that you're going to get heat from the other side. You may get it from, others, who knows.
And any PR guy, though.
How can they know? They read the television. They get on the radio. They listen to the radio. They read the papers. What the Christ do you think?
Yeah, usually they want to fight.
Criminal. No, but I bet. It is tough, Bob. It is tough in this town. Tough in this town. We're going to fight. And we'll have more on our side than you think. We've got more on our side than you think. People don't trust these Eastern establishment people. He's harder. He's a Jew. And he's an arrogant intellectual. Goddamn, sure is the answer to the war. So are we. Okotski of Wisconsin. He was just they were great to get that vote. I told McGregor. McGregor, they all their
you've got to get some language after all the Senate's passed something. You've got to get some language. I understand that. I understand that. And, but I just made some notes on this, and have you got, you have that written out, your suggestions you have written out? Send it by, you should send it away to the messenger. You got a messenger? Well, I'll send a messenger up to get it from your office, and I'll bring it down to the NSC, so our guys can look over. All right, thanks a lot. The suggestion says in keeping with the district, Nixon doctor. With regard to and consistent with the NFT of the president's program of withdrawal from Vietnam, so forth and so on. There's the Congress expresses the policy or the hope, or not, you've got to hold a better word than that, that a ceasefire be negotiated, the prisoner be released, and a date for withdrawal be set.
That's pretty close to what they got a compromise.
All right. I want our little boys, if they will, to let Al know. He was the best man on the board. Him pour their ass off. He said the score is 300,000 to nothing. 300,000 to the president and nothing to the Senate. He said, that's what it is. He said, they talk about everything. What's he done? What have you done? He said, what do you mean by letting this man down now? He's sort of one of the great orators, you know. He's crooked. Everything else, but the guy just, that's probably the result of his national. But he's smart as hell. Smart and tough. And tore out of it. So it saves you that kind of thing, though, volunteer. Somebody's got to stand up there and fight it. The guy who believes, he will say something. Ms. Woods, please.
Teleprompter.
I will not teleprompter. Okay.
out the window as soon as I can if I got the time.
Come on in.
Come on in.
How to work.
Sit down.
That's good. It was not sound.
I would say it was colder than me.
It didn't come through very quickly.
Yeah, I really don't where you think anybody fires the agent.
I really don't think you need much clarification.
So
I need to get,
yeah, sure, Secretary,
marching orders,
yeah, that's,
no, sit down.
That's good, sir.
Ron, I was thinking that we talked about the Iowa, maybe. First of all, we got, I designated him, as you know, before the, I've done the previous, progress at me, and I did in the last council meeting, and I did in the cabinet today. I said, keep the council postman of this administration, Secretary of the Interior. I think we've got to send him out. I want that clear, I'm sure. Would just this one was putting at the top of the head, would be well. If I were to walk out, I want to be on an NMT, I want him on. But it would be well if I walked out and says the gentleman, we have just concluded our immediate review of the economic policy. The chief economic spokesman of the administration, the Secretary of the Treasury, he will brief you on our decisions. Secretary of the Treasury, I walk out.
My reaction is I don't think that's necessary for you to do.
Well, can you get it across then? You see,
I think
he cannot make a self-serving statement.
No, but I can introduce him. We've talked about that.
I want to make so goddamn strong he'll make their heads spin. The President, I want you to get it out of the background session. You understand this? That the President's not heads together. I think this works out. Tell him fine to put it out in his softy way too. He's knocked the heads together. And that as far as the administration is concerned, he has designated the Secretary of the Treasury as the chief economic spokesman of this administration. And that's in three. The others advising advises him. Mr. Schultz advises him. That doesn't mean anybody being downgraded the rest. The Secretary of Commerce advises him, the Secretary of Labor advises him, the Secretary of AQD advises him, the Secretary of Agriculture advises him, the Secretary of the Treasury, the President is designated as the chief economic spokesman of this administration.
Sure.
You get that across, sir?
No.
How does that sound to you, John?
That's fine. That's fine.
You don't think I should walk? Maybe it goes,
no, I think I walk. I should not agree with what's wrong, but I do think if you want to put it out, that somebody...
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's a question of not walking. It's got to be put out today or he's not going out there.
It will be done. It will be done.
And I want it out tough and strong.
Yes, sir.
I mean, give a little flavor to Ron. Ron said, put some emphasis into it.
The President wants it clearly understood.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Before he comes out, the President, we've had these meetings and so forth, and some of you get the impressions to, you know, mean that there may have been some confusion. I mean, there are numbers of people who speak, but the man who is the chief economic spokesman for this administration and frankly, the President's chief economic advisor is the Secretary of Energy.
You've had questions to that point.
He's also perfectly right. Also, and not also, he's designated Secretary of Energy as the man who will, now let's put this in, the Secretary of the Treasury is to preside over the Capital Council of Economic Policy when the President's not there. Let's get that out to who do we have doing it now.
Good.
Now wait, we've got our vice president.
You have the vice president.
You're going to have to do that with him all day.
Just don't say he doesn't know anything about it.
That's right, but it doesn't. All right. Nobody gives a chest for his own. They don't know the top man thing. But I just got to say that he's the chief economic advisor.
And he wants to do that.
And will participate in it, is participating. He's participating in all budget decisions, in addition to tax decisions for you. But all budget decisions, all wage price decisions, et cetera, the Secretary of the Treasury, the President, has designated him to be his participate in those and will be the chief economic spokesman. Can you get that across?
Sir, I can. Bridget on the campaign with the meeting this morning, and also I can point to the fact that he's California.
And he's asked Secretary to go to California to set up a meeting and so forth. All right, now that launch is not what we said, what we want to, what are we going to say is good.
You've conferred with a great many people Council of Economic Advisors, the conference in and out of the government, business, I think, labor program. You've come to the inquire the monetary supply, what it's doing, the fiscal stimulus, and what it's doing. And there I just say that an enormous fiscal stimulus that no one's pointed out that we run a deficit in excess of $18 billion, not pinpoint, but I mean everybody thinks it's going to be above that. There are ones that said that we don't have to pinpoint precisely, but we ought to know it's above the $18.5 billion. And just say this is both the monetary and the fiscal stimulus now. Everybody agrees it takes time for these two factors to work in an economy this complex and this large, and it comes sometimes a 6 month lag. That being true, and given other factors, such as the number of total employed today, the increase in housing, the increase in retail sales. I've got a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, and the number of people, and the fact that as far as unemployment, we're dealing with a 2,200,000 Vietnam downturn in defense, to be at that point out here, to take out
military personnel release, it's alone, you'd be down to 6.2 to 5.5.
I could say, you can say that the fact this economy is going as well as it is unemployment, considering the fact that we're winding down a war and reducing defenses, is remarkable. This economy is so strong to
approximately 450,000 defense jobs as a result of the downturn in defense procurement, that you've lost about 600,000 military personnel that have been released from service, that you've lost 175,000 civilians out of the Defense Department, and this totals approximately 1,000,002.
Without the ripple.
Yeah, without the ripple effect. Yeah.
Which is half of the unemployment.
Which is half of the unemployed since 1969.
That's right. That's right.
And then just go right on and make the case that we're not all ready to say, you constantly see, you constantly hear, this analyst or that analyst say, well, then we're not sure, we're going to wait, we're going to see. Well, I think the president made it abundantly clear that there's not any indecision about what he's going to do. Number one, he's not going to create a wage price review board. Number two, he's not going to impose mandatory wage and price control. Number three, there's not going to be a message sent to the Hill to cut taxes.
Cut taxes, correct.
And,
good answer. Point number three, there's not going to be any increase in spending. As a matter of fact, we're going to hold the line. We are going to hold the line against spending, which would not affect jobs. You're not sending out the veto today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have to. Well, then you got to get the veto. Maybe you got to get the veto.
Well, this is what we.
Well, the question is, what would our wrong announcement or what our advising that I've got to.
We have a message.
But he can say refer it. To. You can just say, as the president's veto message will later today indicate that the as far as fiscal policy is already expansionary, and as far as the veto message carries, but we are not going to go beyond. We are not going to go to spending. We're not going to have spending which will not affect. Would not reduce unemployment, but would create more inflation. We're going to fight that kind of spending, which would not really meaningfully affect our unemployment, but which would increase inflation. This administration has not thrown the towel in the battle against inflation. We're going to fight inflation, not as far as, then I think you could say, we're not going to go for a wage price review, or we're not going to go for wage price controls. However, this is an activist president. He has spoken about the problems in various instances. He's meeting today with the Productivity Commission. And on an individual basis, in major industries, where the president believes that presidential action, rather than just words, will be affecting the president's function. Now, what I mean is we've got to set the stage for steel,
right.
Which I believe that, and they'll say, well, what industry do you have in mind? his time goes on for president. But this president is not simply going to get up and talk for the sake of talking. But he is going to move around. He's going to management and labor now in major industries have a major responsibility to curb the wage price spiral. And the president is going to use their leadership in every way that is consistent with the duties of with the powers of the presidency to deal with that spiral. Second, for example, we have a problem with the spiral within government itself. And we're taking a hard look at put upward pressures on government salaries. We go through that. That's not right.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe you don't.
No, it sounds fine.
But I think these are the things we're not going to do. Now, we have made these decisions because we have confidence that our present policy is on the right course. It isn't a question because the debate is not about whether the policy is working. The question is how fast it is working. We can make it work faster, but if it works faster, the cost of inflation would be too great. Therefore, what we are trying to do is to have this move in a way that will move this economy up, but not rekindle the fires of inflation. And that's why we're moving in this basis. But we're confident that our policy is working and that are you satisfied with the inflationary thing? No, we're never satisfied with what's happening. It's hanging high, but it has finally stopped the rise, and it has begun to recede, and it will continue to recede. It is our opinion. Are you satisfied with the growth of the economy in terms of reducing unemployment? We're never satisfied. We will never be satisfied. But we believe that we are moving on the right track in terms of we could reduce unemployment to zero and have inflation to eat up all the gains for millions of people that are employed at the present time. But we're not going to do that. But this is a responsible policy that has worked with a massive, even by the most conservative estimates, $50 billion increase in the GNP in this half. And it is going to, in the second half of the year, it's the president's prediction that 1971 is a good year. It's looking at all the figures, he stands up. The first quarter, GNP moved up, and the leading indicators have been moving up for 7 straight months. And we believe that in the last half of the year that the merit of this policy will go forward or something like that.
Twice as 1948, have we ever done it? Once was during the Korean War, once was during the Vietnam War, and the minute the both wars started scaling down,
so we've never had. Yes, they mean we've never been at 4% or below, except at the cost of war, and that's the higher cost of debt. We are not going to have high, we're not going to have low unemployment at the cost of the lives of American men. The American men are not going to, we're not going to pay for reducing unemployment by for the lot of the lives of American men.
And you're unemployed among married men. This was the point we made over the weekend. In the recession of 55, we got 3.2%. It's now 3.3%. But in the recession of 58, in our recession, the married men unemployment was 4.9. In the Kennedy recession of 61, it was 4.7. Among married men, the unemployment rate now was 3.3. Just 0.1%, higher than it's ever been in any recession since World War II. So the interest rates are down, they're back up, they're almost, they're approaching their high of this year, but that's substantially much lower than it was last year. So almost the plant equipment is not up as much as they predicted, but it's up 2.17%. They predicted around 4%. But it's
going to go up. Once those inventories, they will have to go. I'll predict in 6 months that figure go to 4. I predict my figure
stronger. Right.
So as they got the retail sales jump, that's putting a lot of stuff in the boiler. Okay. These retail sales are going to be, I think June will be the biggest in 12 months. I think June retail sales, when you get through the whole month, will be the biggest June, the biggest
year after, after tax dollars. This person income translated after tax dollars just means that people have an enormous increase in something like $19 billion. $17 billion in the first quarter and anticipate $19 billion.
How about getting something to knock down the whole business about confidence? You talk about surveys of consumer confidence. The only place where the places where you've got a lack of confidence is in financial circles and political circles. Out across this country, those that are making decisions, in other words, the buyers, retail sales, are buying record amounts. So by their actions are what determine confidence, and their actions determine that the American people have confidence that this economy is moving on. People don't buy houses unless they've got confidence. They don't buy durable goods unless they've got confidence. They don't go to the store and have the highest retail sales unless they have confidence. I think that's it. And the people of this country, the only place where there's a lack of confidence, in spite of the survey, that a lot of this is ginned up by basically this incestuous, economic incestuous talk, you know.
They don't travel, take summer vacations unless they have confidence. Tourism all over the country.
Well, anyway, that's the general. Now, I think another thing that would be, I'm thinking now of another thing. Ron, I say, what does this mean to the world? Well, the president, when he appointed the Secretary of the Treasury, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I'm trying to hold We all change our minds about that. The difficulty with us in politics, we're held accountable to our commission. Arkenberg, at the time he made that Pepperdine speech, within 2 months of the Pepperdine speech, went up to that goddamn Congress, who had just arrived in town, and said he was for investment tax credit. You remember? He floated that one up. Remember? Personal income, I would consider. Then he came back and said, well, I only suggested that these are things that we could not do now that we ought might have to consider later. Now, bullshit. That ain't the way it works. You know that as well as I do. What we have here is a man, he sits here and tells us that he's got the problem of his own credibility. My God, he's written all these books, and for 23 years he's gone down to testify before these committees, and when they ask him a question, he's got to express an opinion. Because I told him, Mr. President, we'd break any new ground. So don't break any new ground. He says, I gave him a speech at Pepperdine. Now, the point is, it depends on which ground he's going to do, whether he's going to break the ground that he broke last 8 months ago, or the ground he broke 6 months ago, or the ground he wants to break today.
That's it. He can't have a new ground.
He's out of the way. He has covered every option. You know, John?
He's covered.
But you realize this, don't you?
Yes, sir.
On money supply, Arthur was fighting against it. Then most people believe that he was too erratic. I'm not sure he was too erratic myself. I'm all for money supply myself. But I know nothing about it because I'm a low interest rate man like you.
Not sure.
And I do any goddamn thing I can do to get those rates down. Arthur. Too close to the bankers. But he has a bank. We'll talk about that another. But the main thing about our group is that what about the chairman of the Fed? Everybody knows that he has expressed his views in speech, but there should be other things should be considered. But he recognizes that his position, his responsibility is for monetary policy. And the president respects that independent position. As far as this particular thing is concerned, the President has considered that among many other suggestions, and he has chosen this course. And this is the course we're going to go on. What do you think? I think the problem of getting into an open fight is that then becomes the news. I don't want that to be the news. But I'll tell you this, and I'll see what you think, John. I wonder if we shouldn't put Arthur in a quiet freeze for a while. In other words, little bit on the social function side, just a little. He's very sensitive about that. What do you think? Because he says here, it tells us basically that he is independent, didn't he?
Oh,
and a right to talk about anything.
Oh, no, that's good. And not only that,
and we don't have to,
in fact, saying, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to do it, and I disagree, and I got to tell you this and that, and he puts it all in the goddamn memorandum, so the history books like it. Okay.
And I went outside to speak to something that I think characterizes precisely how he feels. We got the discussion at 1 minute out in the driveway. And I said, well, Arthur, I can understand you divided loyalty. You're loyal to the president, you're loyal to the Federal Reserve, you're loyal to your profession.
And all itself.
No, he said, I never divided loyalty. He said, I'm just committed, I'm loyal only to the truth and the right. And I said, well,
Arthur, that sounds like an old bird.
Now,
if he only knew it,
I said, I said, who's you?
That's the trouble with Jews.
I said, who's you? And this is what he is.
Puts themselves morally and intellectually from anybody else. You know, they read that Old Testament too well. You know, the whole... I really am true. That arrogance. That's a goddamn arrogant attitude. But nevertheless, he got to get along with it. But I think we ought to freeze him on social.
Do you agree or not? I think you want to go. Or at least wait till after Wednesday. But he's only been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to go up there. But if he's up there right today and keeps us around, we shall move on some things. And also, let me say this. There are more effective ways to handle that. Rather than getting him into a big open fight, rather than building him up as what he wants, he wants to read his name in the papers. Another way to do it is to low-key him. What I mean is, when you're saying, I brush him off, well, he's one of many that have given advice on it. And I'm sure it's the best of intentions, but of course, we have all our facts. The president has made this decision based on far broader considerations and limited considerations from which he was considering, or something like that. But Barry, just a quick answer to, no, there's an advice. No, we have great respect for him. After all, in this field, there's a great deal of differing advice. The president made the decision. He studied all these things, and that decision is it, and that's what we're going to carry out. I said, what are you going to do about the budget?
Oh, very good.
I mean, I just think it's a big matter. We haven't thrown the towel in inflation. I would get in, if you will, though, so the people know. Repeat again, we are going to go forward with the appreciation thing.
Right.
We haven't thrown the towel. We are not going to we are not going to ask the Congress for a reduction in taxes. We are not going to have a wage price goal. We are not going to have wage and price controls. What we are going to do is that we're going to continue to fight inflation, first by holding down that kind of spending that would not reduce unemployment, but would increase inflation. And we're going to, the president is going to use
not directly, not directly,
that kind of spending that would have a more massive, would have a much greater effect in increasing inflation than the effect that it might have on we're going to fight on that. Well, the second thing is that we're going to fight the where we're going to go on the wage price front. In those specific industries, the major industries, where, like construction, we're working there, and we've had considerable success, I would say. The president directly is involved in these negotiations within the construction industries, and we have at least mitigated the rise there. As far as other industries are concerned, I'm not going to be precise, because we will depend on the industry and how effective the president was. We shall use the powers of this office, including the persuasive powers of this office, to the extent that they, whenever we think it will be effective, to see that responsible decisions with regard to wage prices are made. But we're not going to set up a board because it's our view that it will not work. It failed in 67 and was thrown out in 66 and quit the diet. But finally, as far as our general policies are concerned, we believe this economy first has been moving up. The statistics are crystal clear for the past 6 months. It will continue to move up. The president's prognostication that 71 will be a good year, 72 will be a very good year. He made that statement, and you, having studied all the facts, are completely convinced that that is correct. And you'll go right out and say, and you might as well say, you know, the president's been a pretty good profit here. The market isn't quite as high as it was, but it's over 250 points higher than a little of that.
Other thing you can tie in is public service jobs thing, because his message refers to the support of that. And that ties into the thing that has
been. Well, you can say where government spending directly will reduce unemployment, where it will directly reduce unemployment at this time and will not have a carryover inflation later, the president will act, will approve it. But where spending will, where a congressional action, however well intentioned, will have inflationary effects next year and the year after, when the unemployment problem will have receded and will not deal with the problem effectively of unemployment now, then we are going to do that. That's pretty much it.
One message, I'll show
one message from the
Veto one. Well, he doesn't say it's fine, but it's still a skill.
Good luck.
Sort of a pleasure to talk to him, because you don't have to spell everything out. He sits there and sums it up like a blotter. It'll come out better. That way he'll say it, he'll speak it. Great power to him back.
Well, he's done his homework. He's got his cards there. He's going to just knock them back. Thank you. Impressive.
Market has moved out a little too far, and that affects people psychologically. But I agree to consider some of these other
any major announcements that are optimistic on the foreign policy side. If they're big, they're very big questions about this China. And they're very short of soil announcements.
You got people sitting in August lunch just waiting to soak up our money.
They get optimistic, they're going to be moving up. And, but I think, too, we've got to get across this fact. A rough, tough president in this place. I mean, it's not gotten in about it. It's the fault of this fucking staff that we haven't got it out. It really is. And of that cabinet. We've talked to them a lot. You know, I've been in the NSC and I've been around. They just haven't gotten it across. And part of the reason is that the staff is schizophrenic. You know what I mean? You've got a very sharply divided opinion in the staff. You've got the Ray Price group, and perhaps Dick Moore, perhaps he would be both ways, because he's smart enough not to get caught just up in one, because he's tough in some ways and not in the other. But basically, let him be a good guy, you know, dance with his daughter and all that bullshit. And then you got the other group that says, no, be tough, be strong, and the rest, you know. The whole idea, well, you can get it from cameras, that going out of the campaign in 70, that what the country really wants is that Muskie appeals because he doesn't stand for anything. Therefore, I should appeal to him because I don't stand for anything. Altogether different. All Muskie has to do is just get the Democrats. Therefore, he should just stand for nothing. My point? Get the point?
Absolutely.
They don't understand that, you see. On the other hand, I'm in this job, leading a minority party. I've got to stand somewhere. I've got to find some way to get those Democrats to jump the traces and come over here. And we've got the independents. But you see, you really get down. You can read all those papers that everybody wrote after lunch. And most of them lean. Most of them lean to the soft line side. John's here. So he leaned more to Price than he did to the other view. But very few came down. Yours came down somewhat on the hard side. I was the one, though, more than anybody else. Even Buchanan got burned for that. You know what I mean? I understand why. They all got burned because of the campaign of 70. And I think we interpreted that wrongly. I think the campaign of 70, oh, sure, not last year, but goddamn broadcast. But the campaign of 70 was a result of economics. It was not the result of our campaign. The goddamn economy had hung up a little better. We'd have done three or four seats better. You know, suppose, for example, you'd even carried Indiana. You realize that would have made a hell of a difference in the energy of the people. A hell of a difference. And you would have had three rather than two. What is your reason for that? Don't you think I'm right that you've got to get it? See, I've been here about 6 months now. We've got to get these three or four points that we're going to try to get across. And I don't think we've zeroed in on them yet. Folks, you still got John and the rest all barking around about the environment, auto safety, seat belts, and consumerism. And how do we help coordinators and so forth and so on here and there? Yeah. Right, you know. Just like you said the other day. Remember, you came in to me and said that when I asked the cops to come down, I asked them, and yet when that one little Mississippi girl was killed, every member of the staff of the president, all you're calling on the line out of the bill. Correct. Not one thing about this poor two of the cops, is there? Not one.
It's a strange thing that side of it. They just... Well, it's not strange. It's because that's where all the pressure comes.
Oh, that's the pressure from Washington.
It's where it all comes.
It's Georgetown. That's why I told the captain it was good for them to hear that. Now, when that unfortunate son went out there, it should I don't know how being recruited.
Yeah.
I don't like shit. I don't like hard for the person who's going to be with, I guess. I certainly like Richard's recruited, but he's a good soldier when you take it. And Danny Brown's up, damn, they should have heard. Now, both Nixon and Rumsfeld, I think, take the president, if he's only just appears to be a good guy, and want to love the president. And of course, having argued that, I think some of that's all right. You understand?
Sure.
I don't think it hurts to have a little. I don't want to be out of being an ogre.
No, you want some. the problem is we get what they say, Bob. We did enough of that with the wedding in the last 3 years. Now we really did. What other massive public relations have, you know, the wedding was an event in the Claude Robinson thing. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Well, don't you think people were remembered for a long time?
Yes.
And they're going to remember it has a glow. It has a nice glow, and it's going to last a long time. Now, as far as other things are concerned, I can go around and I can sign the Crippled Children's cast and all the rest, and I'll do all that. I'll always do that, and we'll keep getting it back.
So the wedding isn't just a glow. It isn't just a good guy dancing type stuff either. It has, I think, some pluses in basic sort of reaffirmation of basic American moral structure and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
the kids still get married.
Well, yeah. And that on a wholesome basis, and that their parents still love them, and that even though they're cabinet officers and big shots from around the country, they still, you know, go through the same kind of ceremony that the folks in Dubuque do when their kids get married. And it was a little fancier, and sure, some more people, but it was still
basic. It wasn't overly fancy, you know, because it was got that, because it was out there in that garden, people looked early.
But it had the same kind of feeling that
people,
everybody, it was beautiful, but it was, you know, people remember their own weddings and their kids' weddings. It ties, getting away from the dirty movies and the hippies and all that kind of stuff. It gets into the way people.
I hear so many people, one of those women sat by me last night, Glenn Davis was one of them. Your own mothers and their kids, that's all they ever think. She says, I'm so proud of one of my boys. He's 25 years old, he's studying in University of Wisconsin. Andrea Penn or something, another girl is doing so well in this school, and another kid is this, and so on and so on. She says, I'm just as proud of mine as you must be of yours. And I said, comes through loud and clear.
See, that, the proudness of you and yours is what comes through. And then they said,
I said, well, you know, it's very hard for celebrities to raise children. I said, it's terribly hard. It's like the preacher's daughter. I mean, everybody says the preacher's daughter is a sex queen. She isn't a sex queen. The point is, the spotlight's on her. Every time she goes out in the bushes, somebody knows it, whereas the daughter of the bricklayer,
nobody cares.
That's right. And it's really true. But also, as we move up in the economic class and so forth, the preacher's daughter now goes, and the daughters of celebrities, to the better schools. The better schools have a communist and socialist and atheistic professors. They destroy their religion and all of their values and make them hate each other. And everybody else hate their spouse and hate themselves.
That's right.
Well, I know that. But let's come back to this business. I agree. He's got a point there. I want you to agree, but I do feel it's terrible. I feel frustrated that we haven't ever discussed that at the staff level. I mean, what the hell do you got all these PR people around to discuss such things? Here's Christ, he's one. Christ, Buchanan, Sapphire, Moore, Scallon. That's funny, Colson. They all have very valuable input. Yes, you should have, Rumsfeld, you have. Or maybe, you know, come to think of it, maybe none of their views are worth anything. That's another great, that's something you got to have in mind. You got to remember, campaigns are not won by pushing the staffs. They're won by a man, sort of by intuition, he feels something, and he goes out and does it. Over the objections of the people in the staff who are constantly got up, frankly, that they should look at all the dangers. Well, this will be a danger. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's a combination. I think you need something from the input of the staff.
And I agree.
Both of them, you've got to overrule them. The
Dummer Bowles always used to say that the best decisions he ever made were made against the objections of his boards of directors. And that's how he became a millionaire.
That's where you make your big jumps. And that's why you're president. Staff people are staff people. Yeah, but there's some,
I don't know, there are accidents before you're born, the breaks in your career, and so forth and so on.
There's also what you do.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Not as close as I'd like to see you crying in productivity.
I'd like to know what I'm crying.
We have gone overboard in terms of the cabinet. And so far, in terms of the goodies, I agree that we have the tent, maybe the grill, the bowls, all this parsley that we go through. I just think it's sort of, just, I think that's part of, that's where the soft images come through. We have to them. They think that there's a nice guy in there. Well, there isn't. And they just got to get this goddamn clear through their fucking heads.
Well, I think we got to be tighter on that kind of stuff. They're just,
we are.
They are entitled to be back to Camp David.
No, sir. Yes, sir. I don't want to go to Camp David.
If they, if, you know, if it can be productively used and it doesn't interfere, that's fine. But this, you know, it builds up. The Rumsfeld theory on that is absolutely true.
The more you get, the more
there is any question about that.
Dr. Schlutz.
Well, what would you like?
Here's a list of the people who are going to be furloughed. The labor side is quite good. You've got Woodcock, me, I.W. Abel, who I will tell sometime during the day that we expect him to be here on the 6th of July. And machinists are represented. The business people are well represented. I think that our commission needs, at this point, a kind of a shot in the arm from you, in the sense that of your saying how important this whole subject is, how tied it is to the nation's future, to our ability to compete in world markets, to our ability to solve the problems of the environment, if that's what people want to do, or to our ability to improve our standard of living, that this is the central ingredient, and we need to get cracking. What we have is the result of four working groups. Person on the commission has had a set of issue papers that are sort of boiled down on these different subjects. We're going to discuss them today, and I hope that by the time we get through, we'll agree that we have the basis for a major conference in the fall. If we can't get that far, I'm inclined to just sort of drop the whole thing and forget it, the commission. But the purpose
of this is the first, this is the meeting before the four working groups, and I don't quite get the point. I'm just supposed to go in and say, you boys, you're doing a fine job.
No, sir.
They've been meeting all these periods.
Well, I've had four, this is the fourth meeting that we've had as a commission, and these smaller groups have met a number of times just as subcommittees, and now we have these short reports that in some cases include some fairly important recommendations that go to many of the things that Pete Peterson has been talking about. Pete has incidentally made his presentation to the commission
last time.
And the last time they were here, he was the luncheon talker. Now, I think that the a statement from you about Well, America's role in the world and how it's threatened and the things that we're sort of thing I've heard you talk about many times in different groups. I don't mean a foreign policy exposition, but a exposition about our own outlook and our need to be a competitive economy. Everybody wants to have a better standard of living. This is the way we're going to get it. And everybody seems to want to have the environment improved. You can't improve the environment if you don't have the productivity to do it with. All the things that we want come out of this.
And therefore we consider this very important and all these issues of cooperation.
Right. Well, they're cooperating, but you want to see some results, and you appointed them about a year ago for the purpose of giving you some advice. You understand that today they've got a lot of stuff on the plate.
And
when they get through,
what I mean is, do we expect them to say something today, at the end of the day, or what is the situation?
What I hope will come out of the end of the day is a decision to go forward with this larger conference. We'd expose a larger group of people.
Where will they be at the end of the day?
They'll be right here in the cabinet room.
Right.
And if you were able to come in for a little while and listen to them, that would be great.
Yeah. What time?
Probably around 2:30 or so. 2:30, 2:30, 3:00, like that.
Just listen to what they're 2:30 or a quarter of 3.
They could give you their views, which won't necessarily be a unanimous view, but on the subject of research and development, what should we be doing about that? And different people
will
have
different ideas. If you could program something, maybe you might have an idea.
We said that the adjournment would be at 4, but it would, if you were to come in, it would, of course, adjourn whenever you get through, and I think we can manage to have our business more or less wrapped up by that time.
Well, it'd be better for me to come in at somewhat for sort of the end, basically, and then just sit to win.
Well, I think we can. I think we can be ready for you to come back in at by 2:30, a quarter of 3. All right.
Well, what I mean is, I'm just thinking how long you want me there. To stay till 4 then?
No. I think that it shouldn't take that long.
Well, I said that. What I meant is, I just think from their standpoint, is it somewhat better? Would it be better for me to come in toward the end of the meeting and stay till 4 o'clock?
Or until it gets through. Sure.
Yeah,
that would be fine.
I think it's a better effect for me to pop in and get out. Because and just say that I will join you again. I better say I'll join you at 3:30 and we can consider your conclusions on that. But that's
well,
that bad for you, don't so it's just better. I'll do either one. I can do it at 2:30 or I can come at 3:30.
Why don't you come at 2:30? I think we should be able to drive it through by then. And if we have some more stuff after you're there, I can post you on it before you come in.
Well, I'm just thinking of the fact that if I come at 2:30 and walk out, I got a couple of things I got to do this afternoon in the conference. If I walk out, say, before they, in an hour, isn't that
an hour? An hour is as much time as you should give.
We're going to try to do it, but there's a couple of worse things.